Congressman Paul Tunco, I guess first thing I want to know is, where did you go on your vacation this year?
I didn't.
You didn't take a vacation?
It's been a working year.
Really? Do congressmen ever relax? I mean,
I don't know.
It
probably depends on the individual Congress member, but this one doesn't. This one enjoys the job to the point that it's 24/7.
I was once having a social conversation with a psychiatrist, of course, and the psychiatrist said to me, "So what do you do when you're not working?" And then he looked at me and says, "I know, you're just always working and that's your fun." And I said, "That's right. That's right.
Not a bad thing."
So there you are. I want to emphasize that the conversation was only social in nature, not a professional consultation.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to say that because I don't want people running around saying anything else. So we took our vacation, I'm glad you asked, to
to, let me guess.
Yeah, go ahead.
Galway.
Yeah, Galway. Or, you know, over there in Ireland on the West Coast. What a wonderful city. What a wonderful city. There were a lot.
I'm sure you took Ireland by storm.
Well, you know, here was this wonderful Jewish couple, Roselle, and we get over there. And, of course, this is not our first time in Ireland, and Roselle wants to retire there. But I'll tell you, there were a lot of Americans there. But I don't think there were many of them who were Jewish. I just thought I'd make that point.
So that makes you very unique, and Roselle.
I love talking to a really good politician like Paul Tunco because he'll never rise to the debate, which will get him into trouble. So what do you got in mind? Let me talk to you about flood recovery. I mean, your district really did get hammered and hit. Are you happy? I met somebody recently who went through that area and just said, you know, it's still looking bad.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of unfinished business. And are we happy? Of course, you'd like to be able to fix everything overnight. Unfortunately, it's taking like a piecemeal approach where you get public and private sector voluntary efforts all brought together to rebuild individual homes and businesses and the community. But the community fabric, I think, has been forever changed, which is a tragic thought. It's such an historic valley that even the heritage infrastructure has been damaged, covered bridges and historic homes that I think will require assistance also. And it's something that I would like to engage in, trying to make something available for our heritage infrastructure comeback, because with the loss of all of that was the loss of civic pride, some civic pride. And I think it's very important for us to have those elements alive and well in our community because we have a story to tell. But, you know, a lot of work remains. Hopefully we have learned lessons, Alan, from this tragedy. The ravages of Irene and Lee that impacted Schoharie County and Montgomery and Schenectady in this congressional district. I think we learned that first we have to pay attention to the data that are compiled by groups like USGS and various sources. Union College and some of their geologists have been doing studies. There's an inordinately increased amount of water over the Catskill watershed. And if we're going to, and we will, repair infrastructure, let's do it with the data that I just indicated in mind. If we're going to replace bridges, do we put them in exact same realm, same span, same height, or do we respond to this increased volume of water? And so I think what we learn is that we adjust for the elements of the weather, the comeback situation. We also have to commit to federal dollars for disaster response. It was a struggle getting some of those first chapters of relief done. I voted no on the very first bill because it zeroed out any aid for our farm community. We needed to do our best to enable them to remove debris and to restore our watersheds. I think that work is critically valuable. The result is that after a couple of tries, we did get some money in there that came into the state of New York, I believe $30 million that was shared over about five or six counties that had the highest amount of need. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And I believe that the disaster response money will probably be exhausted come May or June. And so as we work on this given budget, we have to make certain that we go forward with additional dollars for flood recovery. And when I see all the work being done by the faith community, by volunteers, by private sector investment, and certainly with the federal monies. It's quite quite a tale of community expression.
Part of this is a socioeconomic part of all of this. A lot of people who live in that region are frankly poor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can go ahead and say, okay, nobody can rebuild here or there, pass new planning regulations. But, you know, some people are just lucky to be able to piece together a shack, anything, anywhere. So when we say take advantage of the data that we have, always the poorest people are living close down to the river. I just came back from New Orleans, whose character will be forever changed right. by Katrina and what's down there. So I take it we have to worry about all of that, too.
I think there's some planning that has to be done, and there has to be some, you know, displacement that might come, but then also the piece that responds to their needs. How do we provide for alternative opportunities in regard to housing?
Sure.
And I think that's an important bit of this comeback scenario. There's no denying that we saw some of the best expression of humanity
Absolutely.
In the comeback. Mm-hmm. And what really was enlightening for me was to work the House floor for assistance for disaster monies, and to hear this stone-hearted response about finding offsets for the disaster money that
was
required.
For those who are listening, an offset is we won't give any money to help those people unless you find something else to take it away from.
Exactly. And so all of a sudden they're changing the rules of the game, or hoping to change the rules of the game as disaster strikes. If our neighbors were a coast away, we have always been there to respond in cases of natural disaster, man-made disaster. And here we are getting like this stone-hearted response where they would have to wait until we found the dollars by which to pay for these programs. And I can tell you, people that voted for some of this very conservative right-wing thinking were angry to hear that response. So I think it was an enlightening moment.
You mean angry at their own people, at their own party.
At some of the choices they might have made.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Are there political consequences for something like that? If a congressman is heartless and votes no, do you think people will respond to that?
I think it was those telling moments that really enabled people to understand that there is a role for government, that there is a need for government to respond in given situations where the private sector can't or won't go. And what was enlightening was that so many people who had campaigned on this no government philosophy, at first I thought they wanted to go to Washington and change the way the government was being run or inserted into various formats. But the more I watch some of these folks, it's about no government, just cutting it until it's gone. And I just don't think that's practical. You look at situations in the global economy on high tech and clean energy and innovation, and China, Germany, Japan, Spain, Brazil are partnering with the private sector, their private sector, to bulk up and win this global race, as we did in the 60s with the global race on space.
Sure.
And so, you know, the thinking is so out of sync with what's happening with our major competitors out there, and will really put us in less than a winning situation. So this was a snippet. It was a microcosm of activity that in the bigger thinking, in the thinking in the big picture, enables us to better understand that there is a justified involvement, insertion of public sector government in our lives. And it's how we manage that. I think people were saying they want smart government, not no government. They want government off their back and government on their side.
Paul Tonko, always wonderful. We truly love the fact that you come by and talk to us here in the studios. It means a great deal to us, and we want to thank you for that. When you come back, why don't we talk about what one person, one wise guy here at WAMC calls the buffet rule.